Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You may be seated. Becky says that I'm impossible to buy a gift for. And every year she asks me to give her a list. And I very seldom do that. And she says the reason why that I am hard to buy for, she said, you have everything. That's not even close to true. I don't have everything. Might appear to be true, but it's not true. First, I might seem to have more than I do. Secondly, age has tempered my desire and disciplined my appetite. One of the things I used to love was old cars. I still do, just vintage cars, particularly anything made in the 50s. And like a 55 Ford Crown Vic, oh, man. My brother-in-law had one of those when I was a little boy. I was 6 years old. It was pink and white, and it had that wheel on the back of it. I still want one of those. I go online and look at them. But I figured out about those old cars. I used to have about, I don't know, 8 or 10 cars. I figured out that there's no end to collecting them. Then I started collecting knives. Do you know they're making new knives every day? You can't collect them, so I quit that. Then I started collecting guns, and there's new guns every day. So I've quit becoming a collector. What do you say? I've disciplined my appetite. And so Becky said it's really hard to gift something to me, but it's not that hard. Brent Norton, my friend of pastors in Fort Worth, he comes to see me quite regularly, and he brings little gifts. And they're not expensive, but he brought a little letter opener 10 years ago in a little leather case. It's on my desk, and I open letters with it every day. So every day, I think of Brent Norton. And I'm sure that gift cost maybe $10, $15. So it's not just little things. You know, Freddie Price said he didn't care what you thought. It was the gift that counted to him. That's not me. It's the thought that counts. The fact that people would just attempt to give you something. But it is more difficult to give now than it was when I was younger because we had need of everything. When I was young, we had need of everything. You needed socks, you needed underwear, you needed shoes, you needed everything. So everything was a gift. And so when you run out of needs, it is harder to gift somebody. And so when you want to gift Jesus Christ, it can become a little difficult. I want to talk to you about the nearly impossible gift. The wealth of Jesus, you know, he is very wealthy. You knew that. That's the reason why you don't need to be ashamed to ask. He's so wealthy, he doesn't have to take it from one person to give it to another. That's how wealthy he is. How wealthy is he? He said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So you really can't buy him a Big Mac. Because if he's hungry, he's not going to tell you about it. He has everything. The universe, heaven, God owns it all. All of creation he owns. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and this is the verse that I like speaking about Christ. All things were made by him. Christ is the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the problem with gifting Christ is he's a creator. Not only is he wealthy beyond description, he's a creator. If you don't have it, he can make it. Makes it very difficult to gift him. God needs nothing. Acts 17:24 confirms that. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So God doesn't have needs, but God does distinguish between need and desire. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Need is decided by character of the heart. Desires are created by relationships of the heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. First, he says in Philippians, he'll supply all of your need. In Psalms, he said, he'll give you all the desires of your heart. Have we got a great God or what? God knows I need daily bread, and so he gives it to me. But God knows that I desire Krispy Kreme, so he gives that to me. That's the desire. God will give you bread because it's your need, and Krispy Kreme because your desire. You know, I'm going to invent a new diet. You know, they have a new diet. I'm going to invent a Krispy Kreme diet. Stay with me, and I'll get back with you on that, because all of you are going to want to go on it. Desires are decided by the relationship of the heart. Even though Jesus has no need, his love relationship with and for us has created the place for a gift exchange. We being as pitiful as we are, and having as little as we do sometimes, can still exchange gifts with God. I went to eat a lot with Red McCombs, and every time Red would pay for it, and I would try to pay for it, I try to pay for everybody that I eat with, and most people let me. They're just that nice. They'll let me pay for the meal. But Red wasn't that nice. He never would let me pay. And finally I said to him one day, Red, I want to buy this meal, because I want to tell my friends, not only do I know Red McCombs, I have bought his meal. He said, Preacher, you're going to have to get yourself another story, because that's never going to happen. And he bought the meal. So I never got to buy him a meal. But God has everything, and he understands the miracle of exchange. He understands the love of the heart. And God said, even though I have no need, he said, it might be difficult for us to exchange gifts, and we can't do it on an equal basis, but nevertheless, you can give to my desire. He made it possible, providing us with a list, which I will get to in a moment. But let's talk about God's gift to us. First place, look in the mirror. You know, and if you're egotistical, narcissistic, you will say, wow, I'm the best looking guy in San Antonio. So God has apparently given you the gift of deception also. No, seriously, you look in the mirror, no matter what you look like, you are a miracle. Do you realize science creates robots and all kinds of, but they've never created anything near you. You are a miracle. So creation is a gift. And then after we were gifted with creation, Adam and Eve messed it up. And God said, but I'm not going to give up. I got another gift. And God gave us the gift of redemption. And God gives us the gift of salvation. Daily bread, every day, it's a gift to our need. But also, daily mercy. He's just a gift-giving God. Grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, faith, the earth we live in, our needs, our desires, and the greatest gift of all. He talks about in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You look around you at all the gifts you have, all you possess, all the happiness you've ever experienced, and God said the greatest gift is eternal life, and that's the gift that I bring to you. So let's talk about God's lift for gifts to us or from us to Jesus. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. They had opened their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold, silver, and myrrh. Today, God does not require that. But there is something that thrills God. We have already opened gifts for Christmas at our house. And Tyler brought me a really nice gift. And I haven't got it all plugged in and got it working yet. I will probably this afternoon or tomorrow. But he said, don't open it unless I'm there, because I want to see the expression on your face. That's the way I am with God. I want to give God something that I can see the expression on his face. And what God wants more than anything else is my heart. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. You know, when the Bible said God repents of evil, you know what that means? It means when you sin, this is how loving it is, when you sin and it hurts God and sin angers God, when he looks at you the second time, he said, I repent of the fact that I was hurt by your sin. That's how much God loves you. I've seen amazing love of parents for children and grandparents for grandchildren, but none of it compares to the love God has for you. And God said, if you want to exchange gifts with me, I give you my love. I laid down my life for you. And I'm not asking that for you. I want you to give me your heart. That's the greatest thing you can do. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Friend, it's not that you never make a mistake. That's not what pleases God, because you do. It's that your heart is always after God. And that's the reason why God loves repentance. Repentance says, I'm sorry that I hurt you, and my heart comes back to you, God, and I repent. God wants your heart. Secondly, God wants your body. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. But then he continues. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Say, how do you do that? How do you do that? Somebody says, well, you know, I love God. And they never come to his house. It's a weak argument. If you want to give your body as a living sacrifice, that means sometimes it won't go to the ball game or the movie or the golf outing or the boating. It's going to be in the house of God. You know, Becky and I have been blessed, and I've got friends, pastor friends, that they just say it's just so easy for you. Number one, it's not easy. But they want to talk about our blessings, and they always make my blessing bigger than their blessing. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I do know I've been blessed tremendously by the Lord and say, do you know why you've been so blessed? I've been blessed every way. God's healed me so many times. God's blessed me with a long life. God's blessed me with so many good things. Say, what is the secret? I don't know all the secret why I've received so many, but one of them is I have a commitment to God's house. And you say, well, I'd like to come, but I just got so many things going on. Oh, no, no. No, 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 no. You don't know how many business deals that I've missed because they want to do them on Wednesdays or they want to do them on Sundays. I said, it's not even a consideration. I'm not meeting you on Sunday morning to close on a piece of real estate. I'm not meeting you to sell you some horses. It's not. I have a commitment to the house of God. This is blocked out. It's just blocked out. Wednesdays, I'll be at church. Sundays, I have that. That is a gift of my body to the Lord. Lord, you can depend on me. I will be there. Said, is it working? It's working pretty good. I got money in the bank, shoes on my feet, and I'm 74 years of age, and I think I'm going to go for another 26. 26. I keep raising it. I keep raising it. I told my doctor, I said, Doc, my cardiologist, I said, I'm shooting for 85. He said, you better raise it. You're going to beat that. But that's just a man. But my real promise is the Lord has blessed me, and I want to exchange gifts with him. And even giving the Lord as a gift, for in his presence is fullness of joy. When I come here, Wednesday night I came here. Tammy, you did so good taking the offering on. You said something, and I can't recall what it was, but I just remember something that just blessed me at that moment. It just was a blessing that I had never heard it quite phrased that way. And then I listen to Pastor Brett, and I see God's people. I shake hands. I'm just blessed. But it's also my gift to the Lord. It's the way I present my body as a living sacrifice. And praise, that's another gift that I can give to God. I can give a gift to God by praising him. You know, and that's kind of odd because I don't have abilities to praise him like Becky does, like these singers on this platform. You know, I said to somebody the other day, just last week, I said, of all things that I would question God on, God knows that I'm going to be in front of his people now 60 years. I've been up here 60 years or close to it. And he didn't give me any talent to sing or lead worship or lead in praise. That's confusing to me. If you've got an answer, don't call me. Write it down and put it in the offering. I'll read it. But just because I'm not talented does not mean I'm excluded from praise. And it doesn't mean that I can't give him my praise as a gift. Becky does so many things well. She can wrap gifts so beautifully that you don't want to open them. And she puts so much tape on them, they are difficult to open. If I was to buy you, Brother Green, a President Rolex for $50,000 and give it to you, I couldn't wrap it up where it looked good. And so I always give gifts to Becky. But I just put them in those sacks. They got nice pictures on them. I said, well, you ought to take time and wrap them. No, no, no. The wrapping would look worse than the sack. And the time she looked at the wrapping, she might just throw it away and say, it's not worth anything wrapped like that. But that's not the case. You can't believe how many gifts I give to God that are wrapped badly. He still receives them all. And he is glad to get them. Because I'm not giving to his need because he needs nothing. I'm the apple of his eye. And so he takes the gifts because he desires them. not because they're going to solve a problem or meet something he doesn't have, but simply because he loves me so much that I meet the desires of his heart. And everybody in this congregation has that ability. You say, oh, I don't have anything to offer God. How many other lies do you believe from the devil? Because that's not true. God created you in his image. Oh, little children, you have to be some kind of a psychopath or maniac not to just be touched at those innocent little children, particularly when they bring you a picture. I don't know how many times in my ministry that I've received portraits of myself drawn by a child. And I look at it, and then I run to the mirror, and then I look at the picture, and then I run to the mirror, and then I look at no, just because he's a child or she's a child, and I know this comes from their heart. One of my favorite preachers of all times was Freddie Price, the best I ever heard on faith. Man, that guy, he could teach faith until you'd look for a mountain. I mean, he was awesome. But he was funny, funny, funny. He said, by the way, he said, I'm sorry that woman left our church. But said she painted a portrait of me and demanded that I hang it in the foyer. Said she's not an artist or she'd have a gallery. Said she chose me as a guinea pig, painted my picture, and demanded that I hang it in the foyer. And when I wouldn't do it, she left our church. He said, I'm not the best looking man in Los Angeles. But he said, I'll tell you this, I don't look like a black frog either. He was funny. And so when they paint those pictures, they might not be good of artistic value, but they're meaningful because they come from an innocent little child. And God accepts it the same way. Your gift might be pitiful in the views of another human, but your gift is never pitiful in the eyes of your Father, because his love for you is so great that it literally makes the gift powerful. And so God tells us to do that. And God tells us that he wants us to praise him. He loves it. He inhabits the praise of his people. Not only that, God tells us that he wants us to bring tithe and offering to him. Now you think about that. Go into the psychology of God for a moment. Heaven is paved with what? Gold. We need to put a veneer on our parking lot. It's just a veneer. It's 3/4 inch veneer on all of this. We've got around 1,200 spaces out here. Do you know what they want? To put a 3/4 inch blacktop veneer on that? $1 million. That's how much they want to just put a veneer on this parking lot. But what if you were doing it in gold? And God's streets are a lot bigger than this parking lot. The point is, does God need your money? Does God need your tithe? Does God need your offering? Absolutely, positively not. It's just an invitation for you to get involved in the economy of God. I want to be involved in that economy. And so I'm a tither and I'm a giver. But you know, there's a lot of restrictions to that, to the way that we are to give. And so if you come to Living Way Church, you're going to be given opportunities to give, to give. But there's a right way to give. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And it is. What people will do for money is amazingly sad. People will prostitute their daughters for money. Politicians will sell their country out for money. the love of money. And so when we talk about giving, tithe, and offering to the Lord, it is a strange dichotomy. It's just strange that God would even accept it. He does that because he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And remember, more than anything, God wants your heart. Remember, Jesus sat over against the treasury wall, and the Bible said he beheld, not what, but how the people cast money. God only accepts gifts from a willing heart. Let me explain to you. If you have $1 million that you plan to give today to the Lord, but you begrudge it and you don't want to give it, I want you to give it anyway, okay? I don't care how much you hate it. Go ahead and give it. But let me put a little disclaimer on that. There will not be any pleasing God if you give it to you. Please, Steve. You make it able for us to put that veneer on the parking lot. But it doesn't please God at all. For listen to what God says. He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And he continues in Exodus chapter 25, 21. And everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone whose spirit made willing, they brought the Lord's offering. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought their bracelets and their earrings and their rings and their tablets and their jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. But it was all willingly. So when you come to God's house, you should be able to come freely and without duress, because the relationship that you and I have nothing to do with your money. Our relationship is based on one thing. I'm a messenger and you're a hearer. And that's the reason why you come to me and say, Pastor, do you think homosexuality is wrong? It doesn't matter what I think. All I can do is give you some verses in the Bible, and then you make the decision. I'm not a judge. I'm a messenger. So you ought to come to God's house, and we believe this is a healing house. We believe you're healed of sin here by the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe you're healed of bitterness here. We believe you can be healed of cancer here and glaucoma and sickle cell. We believe that you can also be healed of unwillingness. But if you have a heart condition, I'm talking about a real cardiac problem, do I come to you and say, look, brother, you're in God's house and God is a healer and you're not healed, so get out. I wouldn't do that. So if I wouldn't do that over sickness in the body, why should I do it for other reasons? Look, brother, this church is paid for, and those lights are paid for, and the air conditioning by people that tithe and give, and I know you don't give a penny. Get out. That's not my role. I don't check your giving to see what you... I don't even know whether you tithe. If I know whether you tithe or not, it's an accident. I don't check on that. That's not my business. That's between you and the Lord. And for everything in God's kingdom, I have a role, and that is to convince you to give gifts to God. Those gifts might be money, but they might be praise and worship. They might be attendance. They might be prayer. They might be intercessory. They might be reaching souls and witnessing. Tithing. But my goal is not any of those one things. My goal is to work on your heart with the Word of God. Because when your heart gets right, you become a changed person. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. How does that happen? His heart is changed. The average human heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. But when you come to Jesus Christ, what did he say? He said, I'll put in you a new heart, and I'll write upon you with my finger new laws. When you really get to Christ, and you know, our goal, this is our goal, that we become loving children, because he's already accomplished his goal. He's a loving father. What kind of children are we? Because we want to be able to be in a relationship with him that is meaningful, where there is fair exchange. God meets our needs with gifts. God meets our desires with gifts. We can't meet God's needs. He's able to do that. But God said, my big desire is that my children would love me. And the way they do it with a heart transformation, a heart exchange. And we give to the Lord. And you need to get to the place where you know what pleases God. Without faith, you can't please God. But I've got faith, not that just that God, Jennifer's going to give something to me. I've got faith that when I come to God's house, God's excited about it. He likes that gift. When I go to the Lord in prayer, God's excited about it. He likes that gift. When I take out the scripture and sit there and read it for a half an hour and look at verses and say, wow, what a revelation. What a truth that is. That's a gift. And God said, I love that. When I write out a check, I've got faith that God likes that check. Not because he needs the money, because he desires my heart. So the Lord and I are in a big relationship. It's a love affair. And I'm going to tell you about the love affair with the Lord. It does not diminish with longevity. Somebody said, well, I've just been living for the Lord so long. It doesn't matter. Your love for the Lord should be ever increasing. Ever increasing. And I can tell you, I'm so much more sensitive to the Lord. I love the Lord more. I seek the Lord more. I try to please God a lot more than I did 64 years ago when I gave my heart to Christ. And the Lord and I are on a big exchange. Every day, his mercy is fresh. But every day, I try to give God gifts that will satisfy his desire. Because even when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God came looking for them walking in the cool of the day. Every day of your life, the Lord will seek your companionship, and he will see what gift you bring to him. Become a gift giver to God. Get a relationship with the Lord. And when you do, it'll turn your life around. The reason why people have so much trouble in their lives is there's so much of the world in their lives and so little of God in their life. But if you make God the big equation of your life, you'll find that troubles are minimized. And praise God, all things do work together for good of the Lord. It's difficult to give gifts to God, but not impossible. You can give gifts to God that will thrill him so much he'll broadcast it in heaven. If there's joy in heaven when you repented, don't you think there's other things you've done that's caused joy in heaven? And God shouted, look what he did. Look what she did. Get in that kind of relationship. And so when you really get where you ought to be with Jesus, it's Christmas every day in your life, and it's Christmas every day in God's life. You celebrate his birthday. Stand on your feet if you would. Lift your hands. See, that's a gift when you lift your hands. You don't have to do that. Do you realize when you lift your hands and praise God, what a small minority of the human population you are? You stand out. I'm always fascinated when they send people to outer space and they come back and they say, we could see the China Wall or we could see this or that. What they can see from outer space. I'm also enchanted about what God can see. And when you lift your hands up, he said, wow, look at that. Look at that. My people love me. My people surrender their bodies as living sacrifices. My people understand redemption and grace and mercy. They understand I'm working on their mansion. They understand the gift of God is eternal life. And they praise me. All over this building, lift not only your hands, lift your voice. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All right, I'm closing. Jesus said, when you bring your gift to the altar and you realize your brother has aught against you, not that you have aught against your brother, but you realize your brother, he said, leave your gift at the altar and go talk to your brother that doesn't like you. See if you can fix it. There's a lot of things established in that. Number one, Jesus said, come to the altar. Number two, he said, bring a gift. Number three, he said, make sure all your relationships are as good as you can get them. I told a pastor, called me the other day, and he said, there's a pastor in Louisiana that admires you so much, and he thinks that you and him got off a bad foot, and he thinks that he did something to wrong you. I said, I know what he's talking about, and tell him I wasn't offended at the time, and I don't hold a grudge if I was, and that I am his friend and his brother, and I love him, and never give it another thought. He says he's going to be so glad to hear that. I literally don't have an enemy in the world. You say, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so doesn't like you. No, they're not my enemy. No, no, no. I'll close with this little story. A man said to another man, said, what do you think about Brother Jones? He said, he's probably one of the greatest Christians I've ever known. I love him. He's awesome. Well, that's not what he says about you. He said, you're a hypocrite. He said, oh, I misunderstood the question. I didn't know you were asking me what he thought about me. I thought you was asking me what I thought about him. And like I said, I love him and I think he's a great, but he said you were, no, 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 that's not what you're asking. You're asking me what I thought about him. I don't have an enemy in this world, not one. I don't hope anybody fails. I don't hope anybody goes to hell. I don't hope anybody gets what they deserve. God's moved me way beyond that so I can bring my gift to the altar. And God said, you've satisfied.